Everyone, you're listening to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. You just heard guitar virtuoso Harry Valdez, and that was Lute Suite in C minor, the prelude, and that is off of his brand new album, Navarre, Johann Sebastian Bach's lute works, but it's on electric guitar. So go to his website, harveyvaldez.net, and I'm probably pronouncing everything incorrectly as usual, but welcome to the show, Harvey. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Man, that is beautiful.
That was beautiful.
When you listen to this album, like, honestly, if you didn't tell me it was electric guitar, I don't know if I would have figured that right away. you know what I mean? It's just, I don't think I've heard electric guitar sound like that before.
No, me either.
And to take Baroque music, and that's amazing. Like, where did that idea come? And by the way, did I pronounce your last name and the album title correctly?
So far, so good.
Okay, good. Because I give everybody different names and everything. You know, I spoke too many different languages as a kid. Let's put it that way. And you think it would have helped, but it didn't.
Well, English is sounding pretty good so far.
Okay, good. But Harvey, where did this idea come up with, you know, doing this as an electric guitar piece?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think the impetus started probably quite some time ago. I mean, I've been playing guitar now for over 20 years and studied, you know, jazz. I went to school to learn jazz. But I also come from a rock background. But early on in my music studies, a teacher exposed me to Bach. So the music was kind of always around. And I've always thought, it'd be really cool to do this one day on a Wichert Button guitar. But, you know, it's very kind of involved music. So I never felt like I had the time to really get into it, you know. And then in the last few years, probably like 4 years ago, I started really kind of getting, like, making it part of my practice routine to play some of the lute works. And funny enough, we go into the pandemic and I have a lot of time. So it seemed like my perfect pandemic project to just go in and record the works on electric guitar.
That is amazing, though, to put that all together. And then, of course, you didn't have to have anybody perform with you either and record with you on this, right? So
no.
Was this like a solo thing that you just like set up shop and went for it? And
well, yes and no. I mean, I've have released some other solo albums. Solo guitar work is kind of something that I've been deeply invested in, kind of developing my own solo guitar language based on improvisation and also some classical music sources. And a lot of what I do is heavy on counterpoint, which is, you know, two melodies happening simultaneously. And Bach's music is kind of like the encyclopedia of counterpoint, maybe, or the Bible of counterpoint. You know, that the music of that time did not create harmony like chords today as we play them. It was more two lines, two independent melodic lines functioning together to create a harmony. So that kind of all brought me, you know, it's all like, oh, I'm finding this connection to the thing that I'm attracted to that I already find myself doing and kind of going to the source, you know.
It's interesting because the sound has like, you know, you were talking about jazz, almost has like a jazz guitar sound in a way.
Right.
Like there's I couldn't like quite explain it, but there's like a jazz guitar sound that, you know, when we lived in South Africa, there was a very incredible guitarist, Peter Ross. His son is Brendan Ross, who is a sax player and keyboard player. I don't know if you know Johnny Clegg and Savuka. He was toured with him.
Okay.
And his dad did this jazz, but, you know, and then this incredible band. And I just grew up, you know, with him performing and kind of how I knew jazz. But he had that same, that tone. And as soon as I heard this, I was like, oh, my God. It was just like a feel sense memory maybe, but like that tone from the guitar was almost like, I know Chet Atkins was a big deal for him too on finger picking, but so it was kind of like, I'm not saying this sounds like Chet Atkins. Do you know what I mean? I don't think so. But there's that sound, the tone of his guitar and how he played the notes.
Mellow.
There's that mellow, but we're still
mellow. It's more.
Not over-linger the notes, right? Because you have that rhythm that's going on, and that's what's fascinating to me about you're managing to make the notes short but round and mellow and keep rhythm.
Thank you. Yes. I did spent a lot of time thinking about how to get to that final result. The electric guitar is it's a pretty unwieldy instrument in its own way. I have to kind of think about it because a lot of the music, Bach's music, especially by classical guitarists or lute players, they're nylon based instruments. The strings are nylon strings or gut strings. So those strings tend to, the decay of the string, the note, once you hit it, it decays pretty quickly. So it's easier to manage to play how to play this contrapuntal music on those instruments. Whereas on the electric guitar, I have to figure out a way to take away a lot of the sustain from the strings. Because on electric guitar, there's tons of sustain, and that can kind of muddy up the music a bit. So thank you. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that you say it, but the tone and kind of hearing the clarity of things, because it's something that I definitely spent time thinking about.
But, yeah, it's still warm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, But I want to play this, like we were just talking with Pierre Ben Susan about Notre Dame, and I'm like, I would love to hear this, like, in one of those old cathedrals. Like, because you think about
cool.
all those old period movies and whatever,
yeah.
like, those big
yeah.
castles. Like, I want, like, you always have that Baroque, I want this in there, you know. And I feel like we should have, like, a lavish feast and walk around and just be all like, give me my grapes and my wine.
Yes.
All righty then.
I don't know, but it's cool. But, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, I remember, like, you know, heavy metal bands, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, a lot of the guitarists were using scales, like, and
right.
using this kind of classical music to really hone their chops. And you can
yeah.
hear it in a lot of heavy metal music.
Oh,
know?
Absolutely. There's a huge thing of heavy metal. I mean, goes back into the 70s, but definitely well into the 80s. You know, guitar shredders in the metal scene for sure. I mean, Yngwie Malmsteen, that comes to mind, who
mm-hmm.
kind of had a neoclassical rock thing, you know. So yeah, I mean, I appreciate all that stuff. But I'm glad you said
his name, because there's no
yeah.
way it was going to happen. You know, it went to my mind too, but it's like, no, that's not coming out of my mouth. It's going to come out weird. But
he's like, you know, the guy, you know, he's like the, you know,
he
when you think about guitar, like classical guitar shredding, that's, he's the guy, you know.
Absolutely.
So, which
yeah.
I absolutely appreciate. And then, you know, but that's something for me is like, you know, I come from a little bit about that background, but also, like I said, a lot of improvised music as well. And I haven't found something equivalent that would honor the music in this sort of same approach that a classical guitar player would approach it, you know,
mm-hmm.
approaches the music. So it's kind of this tendency, yes, in the guitar community, electric guitar community, that might kind of lean towards a more distorted shredding type of approach to this music, you know.
What guitar did you use on this? What were you using?
I use an electric guitar made by this builder named Ulrich Teufel. It's a pretty out there looking guitar. he's kind of known to think very outside of the box when it comes to guitar design.
Hmm.
It's a Teufel Tesla. It's an electric guitar through and through. You look at it, you see a picture of it, you're like, wait, what is that thing? You know?
So that's the photo we have of you, like
right.
So it doesn't have, you know, where you're doing your strings at the top, you know, the little pegs
right.
and everything. Like, how are you tuning that?
So the tuning machines are at the bottom of the guitar. Mm. So it's a headless instrument, you know, which they've been around for a number of years now. But
mm-hmm.
his design, his body shape design is his unique take on it. It's a headless instrument, so it's very light. It's very ergonomic, too, the way I can hold it and play it. I can play it similarly to how a classical guitar player can play their instrument, which is kind of right up, the neck being kind of at a higher angle, you know?
Wow. So it does look cool. I was like, what is that? That is
exactly.
pretty darn cool.
I got a lot of looks when I play. I'm like, wait, what are you playing there? I'm like, that's a guitar.
Yeah, because you play the oud too. You play other instruments too, other string instruments
yeah.
that you
right.
can pronounce better than me.
No, well, that's right. You said the oud. Exactly.
I said oud, yes. I know about
yeah.
that. But these are all like ancient, you know, cultural.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to that with – when you go up into, you know, up through the continent, the African continent, the motherland, and
mm-hmm.
you go up in the Middle East, obviously, like, I think Middle Eastern music really just inspired so much. I mean, it's like
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have bagpipes without the Middle East and, you know, the oboe. And so,
I mean, lots
yeah.
of things. I mean, we wouldn't even have the Baroque lute. You know, it's the oud
wow.
is a predecessor to, I mean, we wouldn't even have a guitar. You know, the oud is like the grandfather or grandmother, probably more grandmother to all these instruments, these strings instruments like the guitar, the Baroque lute, and everything else of that family.
Wow.
It's a really fascinating thing. I don't want to go on a super big tangent about it, but lately I've been thinking a lot about that sort of ideas of like in Baroque music, there's a lot of ornamentation with the notes, how to play phrases and ornamenting notes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a lot of sustain from the instrument. So how do you make this instrument kind of come alive? And so you add a lot of ornamentation to notes, which is a big part of playing the oud in Middle Eastern music. So it's got me thinking a lot about, well, how much of that, at what point in time did this music, Middle Eastern music, I mean, the Moors in Spain, and then probably getting into Europe and finding their way maybe in Germany, and you know, the oud makes it there, and people are kind of learning about ornamentation. You know, it's just this whole fascinating thing to me.
It is. It is, because it's, I mean, it's still like, hey, now we have rock and roll, and now we have, you know, it's still, we're so stuck kind of in this, you know, now we have pop stuff.
Yeah, I mean, pop, there's pop, I mean, but everything it can find its way back to some sort of source in a way, and it seems like there's a lot there for the Middle Eastern music, for sure. I mean, I can't say it is the source, but there's a lot.
But it's fascinating, the rhythm, because I think that's that counterpoint again, because there's always this extra note
layer.
Beat, in Middle Eastern music, and it's cool, man. I dig it. And then it's just, even how the vocals are done, and like, okay, so then go to India and listen to the singing, and that same kind of rhythm with the drums, and oh my God, now it's cool. But there's that rhythm and repetition too, which gives people the flow and the easy to follow.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about this, is it's not that, you know, because when you think about some of the Baroque music, some of that music, it can, like, it puts you to sleep, kind of, like, we're going, you're going to church, and that's, you know, ding, ding, ding.
Sometimes
the harps are coming out.
Like a
but,
march.
Yeah, it could be
it
like that.
Coming like a march.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's a softness to this that's but clear. Yeah. This
Thank
cool.
you. Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I guess I wanted to modernize the music, but not really wanting to, you know, I'm not like, okay, I'm going to make this new now. It's, you know, I'm an electric guitar player, you know, ultimately, and this is what I was interested in, and I haven't heard many people do it. So
so why not, you know?
Why not give this a shot, you know? Let's see what's there. So, it all starts there. So it's great to hear, you know.
It's good to push yourself and your instrument to see exactly what can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than assume you can't do it, let's just go see what can you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the electric guitar in some ways is still considered the bastard instrument, right? It's like the instrument that you can throw on stage, throw it at a drum set, and, you know, play loud rock and roll music, right? Which
Dylan
is all great.
Went electric. Everything went crazy. Went electric. I mean, come on.
Yeah. the thing about, just specifically in the classical world, it's still kind of the outlier of that world, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like it because you're holding, you know, history and now together. And I think that's always neat when musicians do that, because I think we do forget where the torch was lit. And we don't want to lose where that torch, where that flame, where that sound came from. And, you know, we've got to want to progress it. So, that's the best way of carrying the torch instead of always doing it 100% the way everybody else did it.
Re-energize
it, you know.
Yeah.
Are you performing live now? I mean, you've got your COVID project. Are you able to, you know, go and perform? I know you did a lot with Broadway. I mean, I wanted to ask you about doing that kind of, like, theater and being the musicians for that.
Yeah.
Do you have to be in sync with what the actors are doing? Like, if something gets screwed up, like, that's a whole different thing. Like, a band knows how to look at each other and you know, something went weird, like, let's save each other, it's a jam. But now this is a whole other deal when an actual show is going on with it, like, Is that sound like a bigger band or something?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts to a theater show, especially a Broadway show, and it's a very well-oiled machine, and there's very very little room for error. And when something does go wrong, it's addressed. I mean, everybody is so on top of their game, and. Yeah, very different than a musical situation, a band performance or something, or a solo act performance, you know, being on your own, you know, in a bar or a performance venue. It's a bit, you know, you're relying more on your people you're playing with or on yourself. But in this sort of situation, it's a theater's a very controlled environment. So
You don't feel that. Like, I know it has to be, but as a, you know, the
as
audience.
As an audience member, yeah.
You don't feel that.
No,
yeah.
It's a really interesting thing because, yeah, it's so true. Being a part of Broadway now, especially on a show, I did this show called The Band's Visit, which was I played oud and also guitar, and I was also an onstage musician. So I got to be part of this whole rehearsal process of a show, of bringing the show from the ground up. Normally, as a musician, you're called in to just play, say, in the pit, you know, in the pit orchestra. And you're not involved in the way that, you know, bringing the show up with the cast and everything else. You're just there to play the music, you know, learn the music, play the music, and do that job. But this other kind of angle that I got to see on it, by being an onstage musician, just being on stage, working with actors, seeing how the lights are cued, seeing how all this movement is very choreographed, how you walk, you know, how, you know, playing a piece of music needs to be exactly at this length on stage. You're going to improvise a little piece of music. It's a very controlled environment. It's a very interesting environment. And in the rehearsal process, to rehearse something over and over and kind of have something inside your body so that, you know, essentially if there's something does go wrong, you know, you can be quick to respond to anything that might happen on stage that normally doesn't happen, you know.
That's really a good thing, though, because, a lot of people think, oh, that takes creativity away, but it's not, because, you know, it's like you still have to have your plan. You still have to, in business, you know, it's the same thing. And you've got to learn your chord progressions. Otherwise, and then you can go crazy. Right?
It's all that. I mean, at the end of the day, it is music entertainment. So, I mean, of course it's art, but it's also an entertainment business and people are paying money or not, but there's an audience.
Yeah.
So there's you got to kind of deliver.
it seems like it's still live. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit heavier than being a session musician. And then there's music. Like, do you perform for like touring acts that come into town? And then it's like, you're going to be my guitarist for today on this show or something like that.
Those things happen too. Where you get a call and they're like, hey, I got this gig, and you know, show up. And then it's like, you have maybe one rehearsal and then you do the show, you know?
Wow.
Or the other side of things is also like in Broadway, I do also, if I'm not on a show, if I'm not hired to have my chair on the show, meaning that I'm the full-time musician on the show, I'm also a substitute musician. So like right now I'm a substitute musician for the Book of Mormon. That's something that I have to learn the book and learn how to play the music. The guitar part's exactly how the player who has the chair plays it, and so I have to study how he does it and basically be prepared at a drop of a hat whenever he needs me to come in, you know, if he can't do the show.
Cool.
Like, you know, everything's fine today, and maybe tomorrow I'm like, I can get a call at like 3 p.m. and be like, hey man, can you come in tonight? I got the show at 7:00. Can you make it? And then I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, if I can do it, I'll
like,
do
quick,
it.
Quick, take a shower.
Yeah, yeah. It's
get
very,
out of the COVID pajamas. It's happening. So you really have to practice. Like, you've got to be playing all the time. You know?
I mean, practice is a big part of my life.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Do you ever see yourself ending a performance by breaking one of your instruments on stage?
Oh, yeah. Well, geez. I mean, listen, things happen. It's not that they don't. They do happen. They're a string can pop. And I mean,
no,
it's
I
just,
mean on purpose. You know,
on purpose.
Fire and all that.
Yeah, on purpose. That always kills me when people do that. I'm like, no, don't
save the guitar.
Well, when you're in that tier of things, you know, you got another guitar waiting for you the next day.
Yeah. I can't, it's hard. But that's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the whole, it's, you know, Jimmy, he set it on fire and that was his thing. It's like the ultimate, you know. It's like, that's like killing your mother on stage because
it's a lot of things.
You know, but okay, so do you name your guitars? Now we have to get into that. to Jimi Hendrix killing his guitar
right.
Do you ever name them?
I don't name my instruments, actually. You know?
Cool.
I have a lot of them, too, and I probably would forget all their names.
I've got a big family. Yeah. Well, now, I do have to ask, what was it like being on NPR's Tiny Desk? Because I was reading that you've done
right.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I love that. I love watching Tiny Desk concerts. It's just such,
yeah.
I mean, you discover new music, and then you see, you know, favorites, so you're like, oh, man, cool.
Yeah.
They're in there, and they're in that tiny room. And it looks like it's early morning, and everybody's like, "Can I have a cup of coffee?"
Hey, no, they have the great curates. It's great. What a great series! Yeah, that was for the band's visit. So we were the band's visit was the first Broadway musical show to be on the Tiny Desk concert, and so we got invited to do that, and went down to Washington D.C. and spent the day at NPR at the Tiny Desk. It was really fun.
Dude, yeah. Seriously, that's got to be a highlight. I
cool.
think, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's such a cool, yeah.
It's wild. It's a wild thing. You know, it's funny because, like, when you're living it, you're just kind of like, you know, lack of sleep. It's kind of work, you know. It's like you got to get up either at a certain time, this, that, and the other thing. Like, it's not super glamorous, right? But then, like, when you look back on it, of course, it's like, wow, what an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's become an institution, NPR's Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And
yeah.
I know so many musicians who have auditioned for it, some who've made it, but it's like, to me, I always thought, like, what's that like to be in there, you know, in that room and that energy that they have, too.
Oh, there's great audience. I mean, those folks there are working all day, so it's, you know, any chance they think they get to get out of their desk, you know, their cubicle, and to listen to music and watch a performance, right? Like, they're just
cool.
They're hungry for it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how all newsrooms should be. That's like,
yeah.
you know, when what we're doing on Deadline for a magazine, and I start stressing out, and I was like, oh, you've got this great idea, write this article, and you need to write it now. And I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
so there's a whole, you know, bunch of words for that I can really pronounce very well, and I won't. So I'll behave. And then I'm like, oh yeah, put music on. And I think like your
mm-hmm.
music, you know, they say that Baroque music is the best music to work to and study to. Like, that is a whole thing for it's just I don't know what it is about the tone. So
well,
I'll be listening. You're going to help me write articles
great.
Now.
I've passed along my music as with all those articles.
I know, it's like, here, okay, I'll be writing according to it. But that is, it's so cool. I love what you've done, and I can't
beautiful.
Wait for next. So this is the fourth album, right? So
yeah, this is the fourth album. It's kind of a, you know, a very big different direction for me
right.
in terms, you know, putting this out, because this is not the world I necessarily live in. So, and you know, the classical world, that is. So yeah, I feel very excited to have done it,
cool.
and it's out.
right on.
Yeah.
Well, please let us know when you do more. Come on anytime. It has been
Thank
a
you.
Real good time having you on the show and playing music. So let me see. We're going to close the show. See if I can pronounce these things right. The Fugue in G minor.
Yeah.
I remember. See, this takes me back to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember when we got to learn the word fugue, and we all thought that was fun. But anyway, Fugue in G minor. So we're going to close with that. Again, everyone, HarveyValdez.net, and that's VALDES.net, but also Bandcamp. Is that one of the best places for, because I know this is digital and then CD as well, for people to get it?
Yes, there's digital and CD copies available, and it's at Destiny Records is the label that it's on. So the Destiny Records Bandcamp page, or you can also put Harvey Valdez Bach, and I'm sure that will come up as well on a Google search. So, yeah.
I can say Bach. So everyone, and Navarre, why is the title Navarre before you go? Yeah, I wanted say Navarre, and apparently no, it's Navarre.
So I will correct you on that. So it is Navarre.
Oh, so I was right in the beginning. Oh,
yeah.
And I didn't say it on the show. I was like, no, there's no little thingy on there. Okay.
Yes. So it's a Latin. It's a Latin word that basically means to make new again.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So everyone, Navarre, JS for Johann Sebastian Bach Lute Works on electric guitar, so go get it. It's out now. We want to thank you for joining us. It's been a great pleasure having you on the show, Harvey. Thank you, Pierre Ben Susan, for being back on the show. And thank you, audience, as always, for tuning in. We are daily. BigBlendRadio.com is the website. And here it is. We're going to play Fugue.
Thank you. Fugue in G minor.
There it is, in G minor. Thanks so much. You take care.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.